Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events, such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped down the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, the Unveiling of the Idaho Cult, Season 2. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. The story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult. This is Season 2, Episode 10, Liars. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult. As you know, if you've been here before, my name is Kathy. I do apologize for the delay between episodes. I am doing my best. Like I mentioned in the last episode, I lost my brother back a couple weeks ago, and it's been kind of a lot going on ever since. And I took a little bit of time to just try to chill a little bit because it's still unbelievable. It was unexpected. So thank you for your patience. So as we continue with the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell story, the missing children, JJ Vallow and Tylee Ryan. Things are starting to get crazy. In the last episode, we went over Ian's notes when he was helping the FBI collect information. Ian is Melanie Boudreau-Pulowski's new husband. So during all that time, the police start surveilling Zulema and Alex Cox, and they're really starting to begin to see that this is bigger than just Lori and Chad. And if you remember, Melanie Gibb told a few lies about JJ. So we're going to start this episode with John Pryor, who will eventually be Chad's attorney, talking to Melanie Gibb on the stand about the fact that she did lie when it came to telling the truth about whether she had JJ during that time. Now remember, Melanie Gibb and Lori were very tight. They were doing a podcast together. They were hook, line, and sinker involved in this, believing Chad's story. Melanie's boyfriend is David Warwick. There's just a lot that's still so bizarre and suspicious. Let's go ahead and listen to this cross-examination of Melanie Gibb.
At some point, there was a question regarding the whereabouts of JJ. Is that right?
Correct.
And at that point, you had advised him that you had had JJ in your care, correct?
I told him that I had him and then I didn't have him.
Okay. So the initial time that you told him that you had JJ, that was not a truthful statement to Officer Pillar, was it?
Correct.
And when you tell a statement that's not accurate to a police officer, that's a lie, is it not?
Correct.
So you lied to a police officer, is that correct?
Correct.
And then at some point, how long between the time when you told that lie to the police officer regarding the whereabouts of JJ Vallow did you correct your lie? How much time passed?
Till I spoke to him on December 6th, I believe. I could be off a day or two.
So, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I want an accurate reflection of the amount of time that we're talking about. The initial call from Officer Gilbert occurred sometime in late November. Did you have any reason to disagree with that, ma'am?
No.
And then the time when you decided to tell Officer Gilbert the truth, at least what you think the truth is, was sometime in December, the 6th of December.
Correct.
So approximately 10 to 12 days passed from the time you told your first lie to when you decided to come up with a different story for Officer Gilbert later on, correct?
Correct.
So we'll get further into the preliminary hearing later on for Chad Daybell, but that is an account of what was going on at this time by Melanie Gibb. But Melanie Gibb also was starting to realize that things were bad and that she most likely could be taken down with Chad and Lori for these missing children. Personally, I would love to hear your opinion if you think Melanie Gibb knew exactly what happened to these children. She does go ahead and record a phone call to Chad and Lori when they were missing after they took off after the welfare check. They were missing. Melanie Gibb calls Lori and Chad and records the call. Now, from what I was told, she did this at the urging of her boyfriend, David Warwick, at the time, who is now her husband. These come out in the preliminary hearing, but putting the timeline together by going back, because we were watching all this in real time, me and my channel, Left Undone Incomplete Investigations on YouTube, everything was happening in real time. But now that we know the whole story from literally almost day one, it's kind of nice to plug in the pieces. And that's what I'm trying to do here for you on Afterglow Unveiling the Idaho Cult. All right, here we go.
We'll be back on the record in State versus Daybell. The court took a brief recess to cool the courtroom down, the air conditioner, as well as to allow Mr. Wood some time to get his technology ready. Mr. Wood, do you wish to proceed with publishing Exhibit 19?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may do so.
This is a recording on December 8th at 3:43 p.m. And I am calling Chad Daybell's phone number, and hopefully I will be talking to both of them, Chad and Lori. So here goes the phone call.
So just FYI, this is December 8th, 2019, that Melanie Gibb is calling and recording this call between them.
Hello, sweet Melanie.
Hi, Chad. Hey, Lori.
Hi. Hey, let me put on speaker.
Oh, okay. How are you guys?
We're okay. How are you doing, babe?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. I was wondering, where are you guys?
We're just hanging out.
Hanging out? Are you in Idaho?
We're in Idaho.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you a question, if you don't mind, Lori.
Yeah, of course.
I want to know, you remember we talked about JJ going to Kay's house? And you told me they went there, and now he's not there. I was wondering what happened.
Well, I had to move him somewhere else because of her actions. So,
was she doing something? Like, was she trying to come get him or something, or like trying to kidnap him?
Well, she said that a few times before, but,
Okay, when I asked Chad the other day, I was like, hey, where is JJ? And he said, for my security, he didn't want me to know, so is there a reason I should be in danger to know where he is?
No, it's nobody, it's his danger. It's the danger that there's people after me.
Okay.
So, if you knew, that puts you in a danger.
Well, just in a bad position.
Bad position.
Everybody, if they don't know anything, then they don't have to say they know.
Right, so you're just worried. Okay.
I'm just to keep him protected and
keep you protected.
And keep everybody
appreciate that. Well, I was wondering why you told the police why he was with me.
I just needed to use, have somebody that I, so I wouldn't have to tell them where he really was, because they were going to tell Kay where he is.
Oh, yeah. So is it, do you think it's like your family, or, you know, like your family, your dad, or, you know, those
people?
Well,
my family, well, not my whole family, but as you know, most of my family is working against me and
yeah,
with her, basically.
Yeah. Is JJ safe?
He is safe and happy.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Are you afraid of anything? Like, are you afraid to tell me that you're just afraid that he, that I could be in danger? Like, you're, you know, like, I don't, like, if I knew, like, how could that hurt me? I don't understand how that could hurt me if I knew where he was.
Well, I'm just not telling anybody so that nobody has to say where he is or get questioned where he is, so I can keep him as safe as possible.
Yeah. Okay, I hope, well, I hope that he's okay. I hope you guys are okay. I did have a question that I asked Al at one point, your brother, if I wanted to know, you know, like where he was, and he said I did not want to know, and that he could not be found. So what does that mean?
I don't know why he would say that, but it's the same story. Like, I don't even want Al to know. I don't want anybody to know so that nobody has to be worried about it. I mean, nobody has to be questioned about it so he can be safe.
Yeah, so are you, I mean, are you, how long are you going to be away for? Like, how, I mean, are you ever going to be able to come out and come back to society again? Or are you going to keep, you know, like, come back? I mean, like, what does that look like?
I will do whatever the Lord needs me to do every day, so.
Okay. I just wondered if I was ever going to see you again.
Absolutely, you will.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So maybe when they're done chasing you, you'll be able to come out of, you'll be able to come out again, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous thing for them to be working with Kay to find me. There's nothing that's going on that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're working with her in some dark capacity. The police are working with her in some dark capacity. There's no reason for them to be after me.
So Lori is trying to tell Melanie Gibb that the police are working with Kay Woodcock, Kay Vella Woodcock, in some dark capacity. She is trying to make this sound like Kay is after her. Kay is trying to get her. This is all because of Kay.
Me?
Uh-huh.
In the first place.
Hmm. Yeah, has she threatened you at all?
Yes, lots of times.
Oh, boy. Like, what did she say?
Well, it's in emails and everything, so.
So, like, she said she was going to come take them, or she was?
There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Nellie.
I know, it sounds like it. I'm just worried for you guys because, you know, he's missing, and, you know.
I know exactly where he is. He's perfectly fine and happy.
Okay, well, I hope so. I had a scripture I wanted to share with you, if you don't mind.
I'd love it.
I was thinking about some of the things you guys have gone through, and I saw this scripture today, and I want you to
comment. Let me ask you a question. About a scripture. Okay. So, did Alma turn himself into King Noah, or what was he required to do?
Well, King Noah was incredibly wicked.
Yes.
And so he fled his evil ways, which was adultery and living riotously and breaking all the commandments.
Right. So what was he required to do, Alma?
He had to go and flee so that he would be safe and then help other people realize how, you know, jacked up the system was and the government was.
What about Moroni? What was he required to do at the end?
To to carry on those plates and bury them. That was his responsibility.
What did he do to do that? What did he have to do to do that? He had to hide
because they were so, everybody was killing everybody in the society. Everybody was dying. They were killing all the neighborhoods.
And the scriptures had to hide in the cavity of a rock by day and go.
So clearly, Lori is comparing themselves to Moroni. Angel Moroni is thought by the Latter-day Saints to be the same person as the Book of Mormon prophet warrior named Moroni, who was the last to write in the golden plates. Moroni was a real person, an ancient prophet in the Book of Mormon who revealed the location of the golden plates to the young Joseph Smith in 1823, from which the sacred book of scripture was translated. So then Moroni is Mormon, LDS, and it is what she's comparing herself to, because apparently these sacred plates are somewhere and still to be found. The official statement from the church says, while the Angel Moroni statue occupies a prominent place on many temples throughout the world, symbolizing the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is not a requirement of the temple design. Some temples may include the statues, but others may not. So you see the Angel Moroni on top of a lot of the Mormon temples. Moroni buried the plates. It says about 420 years after the Savior's birth, the prophet Moroni finished the record of his people in the ancient Americas on golden plates and buried them in the hill Cumorah for safekeeping. In his final words, he invited all to read the record and ask God if it was not true. So this is LDS faith. This is not from the Holy Bible, the Christian Bible. This is from the LDS Book of Mormon. And Moroni, apparently Lori is comparing herself to Moroni, who had to hide in the crevice of a rock because people were after her, him, them. So Lori's got herself up on this pedestal that she thinks she is that person. And remember, she was told by Chad that she is one of the 144,000, that they were the head of the 144,000 to lead the rest of the 144,000 into the New Jerusalem when the whole world comes shaken down. Yes, she thinks she's that special, and Chad helped her to believe she is that special. I mean, they even had the end of the world day, or the beginning of the tribulations day, July of that next year, July 2020, I believe. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. It was the 18th or the 19th or the 20th, somewhere in there. We hear different things sometimes, but that mid-July of 2020 was supposed to be the day where all this stuff came down and Lori and Chad were going to start leading everyone to these white tents, to the new millennium, to the new Jerusalem. I hope that makes sense, because I'm still confused by it, but that's the gist of it. All right, we will listen to Lori continue to lecture Melanie here.
Go out by night.
The prophets did.
They did.
Yeah. Okay, so well, thank you for sharing that with me. Okay, this scripture is just something that may be thoughtful for you. For behold, this is Doctrine and Covenants, section 3, verse 7 and 8. It says, for behold, you should not have feared man more than God. Although men set not the counsels of God to despise his words, yet you should have been faithful, and he would have extended his arm and supported you against all the fiery darts of the adversary. He would have been with you in every trouble. So when we work with the Lord and are obedient, he's going to protect us from adversarial darts and all kinds of negativity. But when we open the door to Satan, he comes in, and then he attacks, and then he takes away to make it look like somebody else took it away. But that's not how God works. He doesn't work in darkness.
I agree with you 100%. And that's what the Lord is doing for me. Exactly what he's doing for me.
Oh, it just sounds weird.
We have not opened the door for darkness, Mel. Darkness is knocking on the door all the time, because that's the way dark works with the light. And I promise you, I have done nothing wrong in this case, but sometimes you have to hide in the cavity of a rock for your own life safety. And that's what the Lord requires of you sometimes. And that's how it is. And I'm sorry that's it is, because there is a lot of darkness on the earth.
Yeah, I know.
This spring after me for zero reason besides the darkness of Kay, which you already know she's dark.
I haven't met her enough to know if she's dark or not. I've just met her slightly, and she seemed like a normal kind of person, but then I haven't engaged with her that much, so I don't know that personally.
So you don't know about her changing the thing to for herself to be the beneficiary of the policy and all that stuff? None of that's dark, right?
Well, I haven't seen those documents, so I have no way of knowing.
You've seen them on my computer.
No, I have not. I haven't looked in on your computer before.
I don't know why you're being controversial to me, or if you're recording this conversation for the police or whatever. I don't know what your intention is on this phone call.
Well,
but I love with all my heart, and I have forever, and well, I will always love you.
I appreciate those words, but if you really love me, you wouldn't have told the police that I had JJ with me. That's not what a friend does. I mean, that just makes me look weird, and it just... It's not safe for me. That doesn't look good. I mean, you had to think of my welfare if you love me.
I do, and I did exactly what I felt the Lord was instructing me to do. And I appreciate you, and I love you.
And
I'm never do anything to harm you. And you can have all of this confirmed to you by the Lord.
I have. And my conscience is clear. I feel very understanding what's really going on, Lori. And I believe that you have been very deceived by Satan. I believe that he has tricked you. And I don't believe that what you're doing is correct. I just don't. I mean, Tammy dies, and then your husband died, and then he's missing. It just doesn't sound like God's plan to me. It gives me a gut feeling, like in my gut, it feels weird. It doesn't feel right. I don't have peace about it. I never have felt 100% peace about it. I always felt like a little weird in my stomach about all these things.
You know me, Mel. You know me. This does not sound like you. This sounds like you've been influenced by somebody dark who wants you to believe dark things and have fear of the celestial world.
I don't have fear.
You obviously do.
No, I have a peace of conscience, and I can see clearly.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I love you so much.
I know you do. I don't know what else to say.
Stand Christ when he comes again, and he's coming soon, and we will all stand there, and you will know it. At that point, that he has supported me and has supported you the whole time, and I have not been deceived.
I just want to testify that I know Tammy was at the conspiracy theories. My sister-in-law is right behind it all, and I hope.
And Chad pipes in to give his little disclaimer that Tammy was ill and his sister-in-law is behind all that. Because remember, Tammy is Chad's wife, and she had died. Extremely untimely death. Very suspicious.
I hope that you're not being influenced by that dark team.
I don't know who she is. I'm sorry, you said your sister-in-law? I don't even know her.
Oh, I know, but she's coming up with the same type of theories. Mm-hmm. And it's just not true. My own children were there. They testified that Tammy had been getting weaker and sick, and I begged her to go to the doctor. Her heart was failing her. She was physically falling apart, but she hates doctors. And she just passed away. That's how it happened. My son Garth was right there with me the whole time. My kids were at the house within the 20 minutes of her passing. There were two coroners. They checked her out right there on the bed. All these conspiracy theories just make me sick to my stomach. Just absolutely sick. I know I've been told 3 years that Tammy would pass away at a young age. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that Lori would even be a part of my life. I just knew that my life had two segments. And that I know Tammy's on a special mission, and she's with my kids. She's visited them. There's so much, Melanie, that you just have to have faith. And this is not some sort of master plan. There's no way, Lori, and I could ever come up with this. It's just...
You can understand my concern, correct?
I can, from an outside perspective, but from an...
From someone who knows as much as you know, no, not really. But we can feel Dave's influence on you. I can feel that, for sure.
He's a very good man, and he has...
So then she's trying to throw Dave and Warwick under the bus, saying that he's influencing Melanie to believe this shenanigans, that they are bad and they are not bad, according to Lori. But everybody else, so narcissistic, right? It's my sister-in-law, says Chad. It's Kay Vala Woodcock, says Lori. You know, it's David Warwick.
He has a very strong foundation, that I know.
I know, but he seems to be the one that's putting the doubts in your mind.
No, you know what? I have come to understand that my gut feeling, I was not listening to it. And I always felt uncomfortable with many things.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry that I included you in those teachings then for your own sake, because... I wish that you didn't have as much knowledge as you have, as you will be accountable for the knowledge that you do have, Mel.
So will you.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
100%. I have no fear.
Yeah.
I have no fear of that.
But I was reading the story of Korihor, and it is so very similar to this, you just can't see it. But he did it because... He was trying to reclaim a people, and he thought at the very end, because of his carnal and natural desires, that's what influenced him. And he was very, very
carnal, natural desires?
Well, honey, you got a lot of natural desires. We all know that.
That's what you think is me, Korihor? Are you kidding me right now?
I think...
So Lori's mad now because... She's basically comparing her, Melanie Gibb is comparing Lori to Korihor. And apparently Korihor is a man, came to Zarahemla. He did not believe in Jesus Christ and preached that what prophets had said about the Savior was not true. Korihor told the people they were foolish to believe that Jesus would come to the earth and suffer for their sins. He said people could not be punished for their sins because there was no life after death. Many people believed Korihor and they became wicked. Korihor tried preaching to the people of Ammon, but they would not listen. They tied him up, took him to Ammon, who forced him out of the city. Korihor went to the land of Gideon, but the people there would not listen to him either, and the chief judge sent him to Alma. Alma asked Korihor if he believed in God. Korihor said he did not. Alma testified that there is a God and that Christ would come. Korihor wanted Alma to perform a miracle to prove there is a God. Korihor said that he would believe in God if he saw a sign of God's power. Alma told Korihor he had already seen many signs of God's power throughout the scriptures and the testimonies of all the prophets. Alma said the earth and everything on it and the movement of the planets in the sky are also signs that there is a God. Korihor still refused to believe. Alma was sad because of Korihor's wickedness. Korihor still refused to believe. Alma was sad because of Korihor's wickedness and warned him that his soul might be destroyed. Korihor still wanted a sign to prove there is a God. Alma said the sign from God would be that Korihor would not be able to speak. After Alma said this, Korihor could not speak. Korihor wrote that he knew this was a sign from God and that he has always known there is a God. He asked Alma to pray and remove the curse. Alma knew that if Korihor could speak, he would lie again to the people. Alma said that the Lord would decide if Korihor would speak again. The Lord did not give Korihor back his speech. Korihor went from the house to house begging for food. The chief judge sent a letter throughout the land telling what had happened to Korihor. He told those who had believed Korihor to repent. The people repented. Korihor went to live with the Zoramites. One day, while he was begging, he was trampled to death. That is from churchofjesuschrist.org website explaining who this Korihor is that Melanie Gibb is comparing Lori to at this moment. I will continue.
I think both of you have similarities. It's in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. And the scriptures are very powerful.
Yes, they are. I live by the scriptures, as you know.
I know, but we can rest the scriptures for our own vain glory.
I rested the scriptures?
We can do that, and I feel that you have to see our belief systems.
Do I rest the scriptures? Is that what you're accusing me of at this point?
I feel that you have.
Why do you feel that way? I need an explanation on this.
Because if you look, like the scripture just shared. Okay,
you read scriptures every single day, you know?
I know you read them. I don't doubt that. But this scripture right here says that you will be supported by all against the fiery darts of the adversary. You would have been supported if you had not opened dark portals and dark junk. You would have been safe if you would have obeyed God. He would have had your back. But you have been chased and tortured.
Whether he do this or not,
I'm sorry?
He has your back. So,
well, if he has your back, you would not be able to tell me where you are, and we couldn't find JJ. Like, where is he? I've been asking, where is he? And you know what I mean? Like, that's
I can tell everything where JJ is right now, and that would not be good for JJ. So I'm sorry that you don't want me to protect my children, but I would never ask you to not protect your children.
Of course you wouldn't.
So I can tell that you're just adversarial, Mel. I love you. I'm sorry that you feel this way.
Because I actually do care. I'm sharing what I feel for you because I know your salvation's in trouble for what you've done.
If my salvation is not in trouble at all, and I think you should check that with the Lord again.
Oh, I felt a lot of things from the Lord, and this doesn't feel right.
Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, sweetheart. I'm sorry that you're friends with all those who are against me. Joseph Smith's friends turned against me.
I'm not a friend. I'm not friends with people that are against you.
Apparently you are.
I am not. I don't know Kay. I don't know who you're talking about. Your sister, I don't even know what her name or who she is. I don't know any of those people. Why would they contact me anyway? How would I even know about that?
Well, you're friends with Dave, and
David is a very righteous man, and I've always known that grounding about him. And he has a lot of beautiful experiences with the Lord, and these are not the same. You know, when you get the priesthood, that's Peter, James, and John shows up, and then he confirms all of those in the circle that are to get it, and everybody's a witness of that. Everybody's a witness that the pattern is in the scriptures. There's no witness that you ever receive what you think you receive. Nobody has seen that but you. There's no witness. The witness, Joseph Smith, Oliver Cowdery, Martin Harris, the eight witnesses, they all showed up.
Is there a witness when Jesus, Heavenly Father, gave that to Joseph Smith by himself in the grove? Was there a witness?
No, but they had it later with other people. That was one experience, but others joined in later. When he brought other people into it, they had experiences.
Is that in the scriptures, yes or no?
I'm sorry?
Is that in the scriptures, yes or no?
That Joseph was alone when he saw God the Father and Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yes, he was alone.
He was alone.
But had to open it up first.
That's not a pattern at all.
Honey, what I'm saying is that after he saw that and other people joined in, they saw the things with him. He wasn't alone. There was a witness for them. There was no witness. Anybody's never seen what you've seen or experienced what you've seen. That's your own witness, but nobody's had that.
No, God knows it, and I never deny it. For my soul would be at stake if I did. So you can say it didn't happen to me, Mel, but if I say it, then I am accountable. You didn't witness it. Okay,
but your behaviors is not okay. I understand that's what you believe you saw, but this is the thing, as I see, is that your behavior is not one of somebody that's in Christ. Your behavior. What?
Never had any idea that you would be the person of all people to turn me.
I am asking questions, and I am concerned for you. That is what somebody does when they care.
You don't sound like you're concerned. You sound like you're accusatory. You do not sound concerned. You sound pissed off.
I'm not. I am troubled. Maybe that's the better word. Troubled. Because these things, like you being with Chad before he's even divorced, is unusual behavior for a person that sees Jesus Christ.
I was never with him, and he was never divorced.
Honey, I've seen you
That's
guys
your
together.
Story. That's your name.
So I haven't ever seen you with, I've never seen you with Chad kiss him and walk around the track at BYU with him. I never saw that. You
see, you're the one that's just feeling guilty about being with someone before they were divorced.
Oh, honey. I think that's not what we're talking about here.
Wait, it's not what we're talking about here. That's what I'm saying. You are going off the deep end.
Well, I'm just saying this is not a behavior of someone that sees Jesus Christ. It's not the behavior.
Really? Have you ever seen Jesus Christ? So do you know what the future behavior would be if you had seen Jesus Christ?
I know that when I pray.
Each of you every day, and he does protect me, and he is protecting me, and he will protect me against this accusation as well. And we will both stand there with him, and you tell me if I was lying or not, but we're both standing there with Jesus Christ.
Okay.
I'm Skip, was that the natural ending of that conversation?
I'm sorry?
Was that how that conversation ended?
The phone cut off. I could have been because it was in a basement apartment.
Okay. Your Honor, the state has no further questions at this time.
Interesting, right? Melanie Gibb calls Lori, records it, calls her out. I don't know if the call dropped or if Lori hung up on her, but Lori was getting pretty testy there at that end of that conversation. Now, right about this time, things start going downhill for Alex Cox. And Zalema, later on, Pastina, said that on December 6th, Alex went to Mexico. And he went to Mexico to pick up some medicine prescriptions because they were cheaper. And when he arrived home, he felt winded. It was later confirmed that Alex did, in fact, cross the border. Law enforcement was able to confirm that and return the same day. And please don't buy any medicine in Mexico. I'm starting to think that maybe that's what happened with Alex, but it's all too coincidental that it happened around the same time. And we will get to Alex Cox and his untimely death in the next episode of Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult. If you're new here, please consider leaving me a 5-star rating and a review. I really appreciate it. I'm a 1-woman show. My show is not monetized, and there's also a link in the show notes that you can help donate to keep this show alive and going. I really appreciate you all. Thank you so much again for your patience and for your thoughts and prayers for those that have reached out to me. I really appreciate you. It was very sudden and unexpected to lose my brother. My mother's 85 and she hasn't lost a child before. So it's been difficult here. She lives with me and I take care of her. So I do appreciate you all. Stay safe, stay well, and I will be back.